Listening to this Fifi, Fev and Byron catch up feels like a holiday for your ears. To feel like you're on holidays all the time, to feel like you're living in a resort every day, visit mandalayliving.com.au.
Yesterday on the show, we were talking about the story that broke about these two students, 12 and 13, at Melbourne Girls College. They're two students who have been investigated by police for selling drugs, marijuana. Now, this is a top Victorian state school. We, yesterday on the show, a bit later in the show, asked the question, is this happening in schools? Do we need to know about this? Are there other examples in Melbourne where kids, I mean, this is 12 or 13, you know, this should not be happening. And we did receive a call from Rebecca in Essendon, who alarmed all of us by revealing what happened to her son when he was on orientation.
My son goes to a private boys' school. They went to their orientation day from junior school to senior school. You know, one of the older boys in year 10 takes them around and shows them, you know, the gym, the canteen, so forth. They were told, if you need drugs, talking marijuana, ice, pills.
Whoa.
They were told, if you need it, you see so-and-so, and you just go over to that area there.
Now, that was one call. We were staggered by how many other calls we were getting off-air, because you hear a story like this, and you think, well, that is so random to have a 12-year-old selling drugs at an elite school.
And
then,
Any school. And then
because, you know, I guess the power of radio and communication, when we said 131060, can anyone relate to this? Is this something we should be concerned about? To get the number of calls we got yesterday, and we will ask the question again, 131060, have you had experiences or heard of kids selling drugs at schools? It's really important for us to do this because this is our city. This is we have the power to do something. And if anything, the least we can do is draw attention to it and then hopefully get the conversation started.
Yeah.
Because we were also alarmed at how many parents were telling us yesterday when they went to principals or school leaders to report this. There were teachers and principals saying our hands are tied, they have to get caught in the act, we can't actually go and open lockers, that's illegal. So if there are any teachers or principals listening to hear the other side of the story, why we can't crack down on kids selling drugs at school, it surprises me that this just ends up being a dead end, and I don't think it should be a dead end.
Oh, it's
we
not.
Need to pursue
it's not good
this
enough.
To get drugs out of schools.
Already there's a lot of calls coming through, Fev, on 13, 10, 60 and Fife. They're blowing up on the
phones.
Yeah,
we're shocked at the fact that he couldn't open the locket. So I went home and asked Mia, who's obviously at high school, and she's just finished year 12, graduated yesterday. Right on.
Congrats, Mia.
Boring thing to go to.
Don't say graduation was boring.
Oh, it was 40 degrees in that thing. But I said, they're allowed to open, the teachers at their school are allowed to open their lockers. So it must be a school policy at different schools with their privacy. But Mia said that they can open their lockers.
Okay. Yeah, well,
which
I believe
strange.
When I was at school, the lockers were school property.
Yeah,
it's not your property.
No, it's not.
Yeah. All right, there's lots to talk about. There's plenty of calls to take. We'll come back to them. 13, 10, 60. Fifi, Fev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
We're talking about drugs in schools based on the fact that the two students aged 12 and 13 are being investigated by police at a top Victorian state school, Melbourne Girls College, for dealing drugs. And there are some people calling through saying they're not surprised drugs are in schools. But are we all not a little surprised that this is a 12-year-old?
Mm.
Like, this is a child that's selling drugs to other children. And I don't believe that we should all just sit on our hands and go that we can't, there's nothing we can do. We've got calls coming in from all over Melbourne, really alarming about stories and examples of this happening. Jordan from Frankston. Hi, Jordan.
How's it going?
Yeah, good, Jordan. Have you got an experience or know of any drugs being sold in primary schools?
Well, I recently graduated from high school myself, and I went to, pretty sure it was like two different high schools, and the way that they go about it is it's just more easy to access than like all the other, like everything else really, because like people who sell it, like they were pushing it onto like year sevens, like year 11s were pushing it onto year sevens just to try and make them do it, just to like try and sell something to them.
Like bullying them into buying it?
Yeah, pretty much. Like they were just trying to like force it onto them to make sure like they had no other option to like go buy the drugs off the person.
We mentioned this yesterday, Fifi. You know, I know you're alarmed at the idea of a 12-year-old. We all are. They are sharing school grounds with 16, 17-year-olds. Yeah, and that's where the problem starts,
well,
I reckon.
That's, I mean, thank you for sharing that, Jordan. But to think that there are older kids that go and pressure and bully younger kids to buy or sell drugs.
I know we should make fun of this, but Jordan wasn't quite sure whether he went to two high schools.
He lost count.
I knew you were focusing on that bit.
he lost count about how many high schools he went to.
It's interesting that you're focusing on that bit. But you would just imagine that there are teachers, there are principals, and I'm not having a go. I think teaching is one of the hardest professions, and I think that our teachers do an incredible job. I think they're underpaid, and I think we need to look at that as well. I just feel there has to be a system or a way of catching out this behaviour.
And I think the problem that Jordan just put out is that year 12 or year 11 student, the year 7s are, you know, from prep to grade 6, get to grade 6, you're the big dog. Go to year 7, you're now the small fish.
Of course you are.
So you want to impress these older kids and be cool, and they go, here's some drugs, and they try to sell it, probably for them.
And they're going,
okay, I'll do that because a cool kid in year 12 is now talking to me. So that's how I reckon the year 12s push that on them.
But the other thing is, do we have to take some responsibility for the culture that we promote of no dobbing? Like, kids have to be able to report this behaviour and say, I'm being pressured into selling drugs.
No, there's nothing wrong.
You're going to be a dobber.
Yeah, no, you should be a dobber in that case.
Andrew in Tullamarine. Hi, Andrew.
G'day, how's it going, guys?
Yeah, good, Andrew. Have you got an example or heard of this happening in Melbourne schools?
I can't believe that you guys are surprised about this.
Surprised that a 12-year-old is selling drugs?
Yeah, I'm in my 40s. I went to one of Melbourne's elite private schools, and it was going on back then. It's common knowledge.
Well, Andrew, I'm 40, and I went to a school. I never saw a drug, so I am surprised.
It's always been the case. The private school kids could always afford it.
I was a private school kid. I couldn't afford it, but I had no... I honestly don't think there were drugs at my school.
Yeah, the co-ed schools and the all-boys schools, they were rife with it. It was common knowledge back then.
So, Andrew, was that marijuana? Sorry, Brian.
All right, mate.
Marijuana, coke, speed.
Coke, back... How old are you? 40?
Yeah, 42 now.
So what's this, back in the early 90s?
Yeah.
They were selling cocaine at school?
Yeah, because we could afford it. That stage, it was $200-$300 a gram.
Does that make it okay? Say, assume everyone knew about it, and we've been living in a bubble, and we're all sheltered or whatever. Does it make it okay? I mean, should we not be worried about it?
Oh, we should be absolutely terrified about it. I mean, I've got kids at school at the moment, and I mean, we've had that conversation with them, and I'd like to hope that they're smart enough to walk away from it, The schools to say that they don't know this is going on is a lie.
Well, that's the bit we are concerned about, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, there has to be, and we're here. We heard a lot of parents ringing in saying that they were reporting it to teachers or principals, and there was a line back of, "Look, there's nothing we can do. We've got no evidence of it. We can't prove this." It doesn't seem to be good enough. Now we've got Glenn has called through. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good, Glenn. Now, you, I believe, are a former student of a school.
Correct, yeah.
And you are aware that drugs are definitely being peddled and sold in schools with young kids.
Yeah, 100%. I used to deal when I was in year 7 and 8. I was fortunate enough to have older cousins who kicked my head in and taught me not to.
What did you deal?
Well, I started with marijuana, and then it was mainly just pills at parties and stuff.
Like ecstasy?
But I'll tell you what the biggest issue is. It's not, it's not the parenting or the teaching or whatever. It's simply our culture here in Melbourne is that it's cool to deal drugs. You know, every cool person deals drugs. That's what it is. Like, you look at the news and these drug dealers, these underground figures and whatever, they're like made as heroes. Do you know what I mean? They're like heroes on TV. They're
on the
front page of the paper.
Underbelly style.
That's it, 100%. I mean, you watch Underbelly, these guys are all heroes.
Johnny
Ibrahims and whatever, they're heroes.
But we do, I agree with that. There is the glamorizing.
It's like that gangster cred kind of thing.
But I think
That's exactly right.
That is true. You have a look around, and if you watch the Underbelly series, then not many of them are with us anymore.
Yeah,
that's
a good point. They're not really,
that is the price you pay. But look, thank you for everyone called in and contributed to that. And, this is something that I think that if we've done anything, if you can go home and talk to your kids and I guess the communication, keep communication open, because it's the only way we can stamp things like this out.
Absolutely. 13 10 60 is
our
number.
Yes, and Boxy, dibber dobbers wear nappies.
Dibber dobbers are great. Eric, dob, dob, dob. Fifi, Fevin, Byron. Story about this guy, 16-year-old here in Melbourne, We're talking a lot about teenagers this hour, but this guy, now he's been arrested. So what he's done is definitely not condoned by authorities, or should be by anyone. He's only 16. He had a truck, a $100,000 truck, that he then modified to make look like an emergency vehicle. So he was fooling motorists into believing he was an emergency vehicle. Oh, and what he was doing, he would respond. So he had one of those trackers, or what do you call them? Scanners. And he was responding to traffic crashes.
Yep.
And helping people at the scene of accidents.
Right.
So I'm torn here, guys. I'm torn for many reasons. The professional broadcaster within me, the parent, says no.
Oh, you do that, and I'll do the other one.
Thing to do.
You do the very good cop, bad. I'll play bad cop.
But if your kid is going to be bad and break the law,
great.
To go and save people's lives. I mean, he's been a good Samaritan, sure, and a bad Samaritan.
Yeah, all the
I don't
same
know
time.
What to do with this.
Mm. He had the full sirens all around the car, and the police officer on Channel 7, the Channel 7 guy, went to him and goes, it was like the worst footage you've ever seen. He opens up the door and he goes, and the police officer just played all the sirens and then looked at him and went, God, come on. What was I watching? Anyway, this guy's obviously parents, he's from Brighton, they're obviously really well off. They're away. I reckon it's a sort of a cry out for help.
An
attention seeking thing, because he's 16, he's probably home all the time. How's he get 100-something grand to fix up his truck? Just takes it out of his little account that his parents won't know about, hots it up, but he's cruising up and down Bay Road, down Beach Road. Cars are moving over, the dash cam. He's going to traffic. His 16-year-old's getting out going, what can I do? He's got the full vest on. He'd be in an accident going, how hard did I hit my head?
Who is this guy?
As annoyed as his parents would be, and obviously they will take steps. There are lots of reasons why. But there'd be part of them that
partly
would go,
proud.
Most 16-year-olds are at home in the rumpus room playing Grand Theft Auto. My son's out there helping people at crash sites. Like, I'm torn again. You know,
I throw
what?
It up. I throw it up before you box in. Would you rather your 16-year-old at school selling marijuana, or having a police car driving and pretending to save lives?
Pretending to be a cop and save lives. 100%. There we go. Again, I don't condone any of this. But you know what he is? He's decided to be a vigilante.
Yep.
It's a little bit like a superhero. He's just gone, I'm going to get out there and I'm going to help
Superman.
People. And these people often, who in, I guess, everyday circumstances, go to people's defence, rush to people's defence, help save them. They're vigilantes. They're amongst us. It's like we've got superheroes in our midst in Melbourne. And you know what? They never sing their own praises.
No.
But we want them to.
Yep.
13, 10, 60.
I like it.
Have you been a vigilante? Are you one?
What
have
do you,
you
do?
Been a hero? When have you stepped in and saved somebody, helped somebody?
I love that idea. You've always wanted to make a citizen's arrest, Fief. I mean, that's something that secretly
What?
It's a personal little goal I would like to at some stage. The idea of...
Hang around down the coals down there for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm too scared of those people. I'm scared to perform a citizen's arrest.
I reckon you'll get
to.
A couple in a day.
Let's
down
see
there.
How we go. 13 10 60 is the number if you want to nominate yourself. It's Fifi, Fev and Byron on the Fox.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
We're talking about vigilantes, good Samaritans, people who go out there and try to help others. Now, I will again say, we do not condone the behaviour of this particular 16-year-old, but you may have seen in the news a Melbourne teenager has modified a truck. He's been driving up and down the streets of Brighton, listening through a police scanner and turning up and responding to traffic accidents and helping people at the scene.
He even made the news, if you want to hear the little report.
I'd love to hear
He's
about it.
He's actually on 7 News.
Which is a screen that told me that.
He would be attending, trying to get vehicles out of the way and then getting out and... I guess pretending to be an emergency service helping at a scene. I've been in the heavy vehicle unit for 5 years now, my sixth year. I've never seen or had anything reported to us like this, so to speak, yes.
See, we get alarmed when we hear about 16-year-old thugs and, you know, got kids out there with knives and gangs in the city, and then you've just got a kid here with some sirens on his truck helping people out. I'm confused. I'm really torn.
Fev's all for it.
No,
yeah, not for the driving
let
bit.
Let him get his license.
Literally can't drive, but he had his L plates up.
But yeah.
He was pretending to be a police officer
in
many respects.
I'd rather my kid doing that than the last topic.
Well, again, we're sort of proud and ashamed at the same time.
I mean, there's the aspect of it being completely illegal, but then other than that, there are some aspects that we
thought,
like.
You know, vigilantes, good Samaritans, they don't often blow their own trumpets, and there's not necessarily a place for them to do that. So we've said, now is your moment. Debbie in Lower Plenty. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, how are you?
Great, Debbie. Are you a vigilante?
Oh, well, I kind of was. I saved a person out in Maui. They were drowning, and I had a $3 Lilo. My girlfriend and I were floating on Lilos, and I jumped off the Lilo, pushed my Lilo out, and told the guy to grab it when he came up again, and then I pulled him into shore.
Oh, wow. Debbie, you're a hero.
I know. It's pretty amazing. I didn't think I'd be able to do it.
Baywatch.
Yeah.
Exactly, Baywatch. That's exactly the photo we took.
I love the $3 Lilo. You don't get Lilos enough out of the water. Yeah, I love a Lilo.
You do up in the Murray. You get on them. Oh, you put the Lilos in. You get an Esky next year and another Lilo, and you just cruise down. You go from one town to another.
I'd love to go Liloing. Yeah.
And thank you, Debbie. I'm glad Fief got the Lilo aspect of that out.
Word,
she also saved someone's life.
I know.
But well done. And there's no grey area there. That's just a straight-up hero story. There is nothing illegal about that. That's just 100% heroic.
No, but then the do-gooders would be like, once she saved the life, they'd be like, just be careful. We don't condone this because you probably could drown yourself. Ring people that could actually say.
No.
That's what they say. No, they do. I've seen it.
It was a life and death matter there.
Where do you think the word Lilo came from?
Lilo.
Can you get off the Lilo thing?
Lilo on the ground.
Oh, you're good. That's great. Thank you, Fev. Did you make that up?
Yeah.
Pam and Q. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Pam. Are you a vigilante?
Oh, just a little bit. So I've been using public transport forever, just like everyone else. And when I'm on the trams, I normally see young kids just sitting on the tram while the elderly or pregnant ladies are standing. And so I've made it my mission in life to ask them politely to get up, please, so that someone else can take a seat.
Good on you.
They should be doing that anyway.
Do you often get people sort of turn their noses up at you and get annoyed, or do they acknowledge that?
No, I've actually never had someone come at me for it, so that's good.
That's great.
They just sort of get up and other people just sort of look around and...
You shame them into it.
Yeah. That's exactly what you were talking about, Boxy.
Yeah, good vigilante work there, Pam.
She could just do the free tram zone. You know how it just goes around in a loop? She could just patrol all day.
You should like put a little high-vis vest on, Pam, and make it your job.
Very good work.
I reckon I'd put a high-vis vest on and jump on a tram and pretend I was a worker.
I reckon no one would believe you.
No, but then I wouldn't have to pay for a Mikey.
Yeah, but I think even the inspectors will go, Brendan Favola, why are you wearing high-vis vest? And where's your Mikey?
And then I'll say, because I'm doing this for radio and it's a skit. And they go, yeah, sweet.
Okay, I don't know.
You can't use the radio show to get out of illegal activities.
Can so.
Jai in Preston. Hi, Jai.
Hey, how are we, Faith?
Yeah, great, Jai.
Yeah,
you
too,
sound like a good Samaritan, a vigilante, Jai.
Yeah, I'm sort of am, I think. One day I was just chilling at my house with my missus and pretty much you hear screaming and yelling, which isn't out of the ordinary for Preston. And it was at night time, pretty late as well. And police in the area outside of my house, and I'm wondering what's going on. So next minute I walk outside, I see some guy like running past my house and like three or four police officers following him behind, like sprinting.
Yeah.
And I'm in nothing but my footy shorts, pretty much, barefoot. And I've pretty much hurdled over my front fence in front of the police and just sprinted down the road and got him for them, basically,
Jai.
And tackled him. Yeah.
Round of applause.
I mean, Jai, you've tackled a bad guy. What had he done, the baddie?
He was just terrorising the neighbourhood. He was on top of the roof of my neighbour's house, breaking their tiles, broke the car, went in the milk bar down the road, smashed that up.
And just tackle him.
Did the police, did they lecture you on the fact that you probably shouldn't
involve
yourself?
Yeah, the do-gooders would have said that for sure.
They caught up to me. When they caught up to me, the guy was snoring, like, on the ground. But I wasn't in trouble for that.
Well, the guy was asleep. Well, one minute you're chasing him, now he's asleep. I mean, the story's not quite lining up.
No, I pretty much tackled him with all my frustration. So.
And then he fell asleep.
Yeah, he fell asleep, and the police caught up to me and pretty much said I'm like the modern day Ned Kelly because I had a beard at the time.
Okay, so
I reckon Jai's on the beers right now.
I reckon you'd like a good Lilo, wouldn't you, Jai?
Yeah, I'm about six stubbies down.
Oh, no, I meant like Lilo.
All right, no.
Let's just take a break.
Jai's still going from the weekend.
All right.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
There is a phenomenon with social media now, particularly Instagram, where people are suffering from low self-esteem because they're constantly seeing other people's lives and how cool they are, how good they look in bikinis, how much fun they're having out at nightclubs, and when they're at home watching, you know, I guess, Bridget Jones' Diary, eating a tub of ice
Netflix
cream.
And chill.
And you flick through Instagram and you're just looking at people going, oh, I'm just depressed because I'm not as good as them. Mm. And this isn't being helped by the fact that people are faking it on Instagram.
Sorry, what?
Now, I think we all agree everyone puts their best foot forward. Like, you know, I'm even prepared to say I'll take a few photos and then I'll go through them going, well, that's the best one, or that's Trixie smiling. I won't put the bit up where she's yelling at me.
No.
I'll put the bit up where she's got a cute little face on. We all, like, that's just obvious.
That's okay.
But I'm getting that FOMO right at the moment, Boxy.
Why?
Because my world's football.
Yeah.
And all of, because the football players' season's over, they're all overseas.
Oh, yes.
So they're all posting photos of them overseas, drinking and swimming in pools
and you're feeling,
getting a tan, and I'm sitting here.
You look just a bit depressed.
I'm up and about, but us. Just when you look at it, you're like, ugh.
But then don't you look over at Byron and I and go, I am winning.
Keep going with it.
So I've got, so how's this? People are now going to great lengths to fake their life on Instagram, and unbelievably, people are hiring private jets just for an hour. So apparently this is a thing. For a few hundred dollars, you can hire, rent a luxurious Gulfstream G650 aircraft, have a whole team of professional photographers. You get in there and you do these Bow Wow got accused of this. There was a photo of him standing next to a jet. And remember,
that's right,
he tried to pretend he was getting on it, but then someone saw him in economy on another airline.
Just on a passenger airline.
But that's a huge, I mean,
we should do that as a show. We should pretend we've got our own private jet and do that exact thing.
Why don't we hire Hamish
and Andy are doing
hours?
That.
Well, they've got a jet, I think, but we would have to pretend, but that's okay.
Can you do your 131060 ring up, whatever you need, because I've got to tell a quick story.
No,
oh,
no,
do you?
I've got a story.
Okay, you tell a story.
What it was the okay, here's the quick thing.
Yep.
131060, fake Instagram lives. Are you prepared to fess up? Yes, you faked something on Instagram, or you can dob in a friend who's faked something.
This is good.
What have you faked? And I'm going to say that I did something well before Instagram. So about 10 years ago, Fev, Byron and I worked on another show. And I had zero profile. No one knew who I was. I was living in Sydney at the time. And I was doing one of those, you know, the weekend magazines have the at-home bit at the back.
Yeah. Mm.
And they go, this is Fifi Box's house. And I didn't have a house at the time. I lived in a shoebox.
They hire it for you. I've done the same thing.
No, not even bad as that. So I lived in a studio apartment, and a girlfriend of mine said, why don't you come and pretend that my house is your house?
That was a massive house too.
And this is like for a reputable magazine. So I went into this massive house, pretended it was mine. And the general manager of the radio station, he had a dog that he loved. And he said, well, Fee, do you want my dog? And pretend it's your dog. I went, I'd love to pretend I had a great dog. So I had this gorgeous border collie Macy in the photo.
Macy, yeah.
And all around it goes all Fifi's things. I've got, I love Macy. Macy's my best friend, my dog Macy. But it was all fictional, all pretend. And then we worked with a very funny comedian at the time, Marty Sheargold. And what would Marty do?
Well, Marty would constantly remind Fife about Macy and say, how is that Macy going? Has she had to be sent out to the country? Where's she gone?
I had to pretend that I had to send it to the country because people kept asking me where my dog was. That was faking it.
Yes, I can't beat that story, so play a song.
Fifi, Fev and Byron.
We've asked you to dob yourself in, or friends or family members who are faking their lives on Instagram. And this is because apparently now people are going to the lengths to try to prove they've got a great life. They're spending a few hundred dollars hiring a private jet for an hour. So it's sitting there on the tarmac. You get in, you recline, you get to look like a Kardashian, you upload those photos on Insta and people go, oh, they're in a private jet. But no, it just cost a few hundred dollars.
Yes, and we've got Bow Wow from LA.
Hey, good gear.
Bang.
Good gear, Fev. Miranda in South Melbourne. Hi, Miranda.
Yeah, they just gave each other a fist bump for that. That was solid. Sorry, Miranda, go on.
Here's the ones.
Hey, so last time I was in New York, I was staying in a pretty dingy hostel, feeling pretty sorry for myself. So I Googled the stock images of the Ritz-Carlton and posted it saying,
yes.
Oh,
I love
that
you.
That is amazing.
That is brilliant. Oh, what did all your mates say?
Oh, I've stayed there before, but this time I definitely was not. So that it was sort of believable, but yeah, I did the soppy like morning views and like the whole thing.
That's so good. Cool. Have you ever fessed up to that?
No, never.
I love it.
Everyone, Miranda's friends listening, that was fake. So
that's
thanks,
great.
Nicole. I love that. That's so good.
Now,
so good.
Fief, this is interesting. Khan was a guy. Can you just set up what happened before song? Because it was quite funny.
We got a call from Matt, and he was dobbing in his mate Khan, who's a DJ here in Melbourne, who loves hiking. And every time they get to the top of a mountain, Matt was saying Khan will have put clothes in his backpack and puts on different items of clothes to make it look like he's been hiking a lot. So he saves them and then like just every weekend pops up another photo as if he's been climbing more mountains.
Which is brilliant.
And we love Maddie for dobbing in Khan, but I think this might be Khan's revenge because he's called through. Are you there, Khan?
Yes, hello. How are you guys?
Good. Khan, how's hiking going for you, mate?
It's not bad. I do it actually because the clothes are given to me.
Oh.
And I need to stay active. But Matt does something similar where he goes to the gym, has a professional photographer, takes photos of him, and he pushes it out throughout the year.
Oh, funny. Matt left that out of his story, didn't he?
Matt, are you there?
Oh, no.
Fief, Fev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox.
Fief, Fev and Byron.
Now, boys, you know I'm right into The Bachelorette. I've gotten right into this series. Mm-hmm. I'm back in it and I'm engrossed and I have decided I think Sophie has given away a clue and I think I know who the winner is.
Is this
based on something Sophie said?
A spoiler alert?
No, you don't. Spoiler alert in terms of I feel like I know, but I haven't been told.
Well, if you actually know, that's no fun. You've just been told by someone.
He hasn't been told. He doesn't know. He's joking. Brian, how long have you known
Reason? He's a good liar. I still believe it.
Gregory, come on.
Anyway.
How long have you known him? You know how lots of news reports are out there that she's going to pick Stu, the billionaire.
Right.
Or multimillionaire, anyway. The guy with yachts. And I agree. The second the guy with the yacht turned up, I said, well, that's obviously who Soph's going to pick.
Do you want the guy who's renting his car and it's a Datsun 180? Or do you want the guy who has his own yacht? I think I'll take the guy with the yacht.
Take the yacht guy. So, look, and, you know, there are publications like Daily Mail who keep saying, yes, he wins. And unfortunately, they got it right the last time with... forgotten the guy. Matty J.
Yep.
And his partner.
Phil.
Again, lost for words.
What about
lost
Scott? Names.
Anyway, here's the thing, guys. A few weeks ago, Sophie did an interview, and I remember reading this, and I remember thinking her language was a bit strange because she was talking about wanting to have children.
Mm-hmm.
And the quote was, yes, I want to have children of my own one day, maybe in a couple of years. And I remember when I read it, I went, why does that just sound like a weird way of saying it? And then I'm not going to take credit for this. It's another publication, I can't remember, on the weekend I was reading, and they picked up on it too. And they said, and they're right, that's the way you speak if you're dating someone who's already got kids.
Yeah. Of so my own, children
Stu's
of
got,
my own.
Stu's got four children already. So you'd start saying, yeah, I want children of my own one day too. Because
I'm with a guy who's got kids.
I'll have stepchildren.
I reckon you've done it.
Can I say something, Miss Box?
Yes.
Yeah, but she might be saying that because old Stu, who's got the yachts, had the schnip.
Oh, the vasectomy. That's another alleged report.
He's not on heat.
So why would she say, I want children of my own one day?
Maybe she's just saying that she's not actually with him.
She's
saying, I can't choose him because he's already got kids and can't have any. I want children of my own.
Oh, so I haven't picked the man I'm in love with the yacht.
No, I'm
picking someone else because I want children of my own. I mean, it's another spin. I won't lie.
But you can get a needle and you can withdraw and you can reverse it.
Okay. Of course you can.
Yeah.
So that's not over. Mm. But I like my theory better. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, I'm with your theory. I'm just saying he has had the snip.
Great, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
I did
there we
know.
Go.
I'm just trying to jump on board your story. I but
like
I actually
it.
Know who the final three
is.
Okay, don't.
I do know that.
Just take a break.
Fief, Fev and Byron.
Fief, Fev and Byron on 101.9 The Fox. You'll know our next guest best for his hilarious role on Modern Family. He plays Hayley's love interest, of course. We loved him on Modern Family.
Well, that was crazy.
My ticker hasn't gotten to work out that good since I made the finals of that cup stacking competition.
Hey, should I take these robes upstairs?
I'm going to pop mine in the washer. I've got about 3 pounds of tension sweat in here.
We now know him as well for his stand-up comedy, of course, the movies as well. Athenaeum Theatre in Melbourne is where his first stand-up show is sold out. Still tickets for his second one, Wednesday, Jan 31 at the Athenaeum, Fief.
Adam, welcome to the show. Adam Devine.
Hey, what's up, guys? You got to come to the second show. That's when things get really weird. That's when it gets strange, the late film.
We look forward to that, Adam. This is really exciting to get the chance to see you do some stand-up because we're obviously big fans of you. Byron mentioned Modern Family. For me, Pitch Perfect 2, with our very own Rebel Wilson. Now, as having worked with Rebel closely, did you pick up on any Australianisms that you need to apply to your performance in Australia?
Not really. I'm horrible with accents, so I won't even attempt to do an Australian accent. I just know not to mess with any koalas because I'll fully get chlamydia. I've been told to steer clear.
Yeah, that's a good thing to steer clear of that. And also talking about Rebel Wilson, there was a sketch at the MTV Awards of you two having a little pash out the back, and it was used in the case that she was just involved in, that she won like $100 million. Did you get any cut of that or what?
Yeah, I have to talk with her. Yeah. Obviously, she should peel off one or two for me. How dare she?
Adam, you were in Australia last year, and I have it on good authority that you partied pretty hard. What did you get up to in Melbourne, and how do Melbourne rate in the world of party animals?
I mean, I love Australians. You guys just go so hard. I don't even really remember. I remember going to some Chinese restaurant and then sort of drinking all night and waking up and having to catch a flight. So I don't really remember exactly what I did in Melbourne. I'm hoping to have more hours of sobriety under my belt while in Melbourne this go round.
Sounds very similar to most of my weekends. I just get hammered and end up in a different state.
We might have lost the line. No, you're still there. Adam's still there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's up! Hey! I'll tell you what, that joke felt real flat.
It wasn't a joke.
That was just tumbleweed. It was more just a comment, really.
Yeah,
Adam, do you find, when you're preparing for a stand-up show, who do you try out your material on? Do friends or have people ever been a bit too brutal with their feedback?
No, not really. I mean, like, if you try it on your, like, I won't do that anymore, try it on my friends, because they'll be like, are you trying jokes out on me, dude? Like, can't you just be a human being around me, you joke machine? So I try to go to the comedy clubs and you know, tell the pain drunks my jokes.
How do you,
they're ready for them.
How do you go at the comedy club when you get up and you do some material and like no one laughs? Because our producer tries to be a comedian and he's not that funny. But how do you feel?
I think that might be, that doesn't happen to me very often.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, Adam.
I could see the fact that you said he wasn't funny.
You can't ask him that question.
He kills every night, mate.
At the comedy club when he just goes and does new material. Not everything's funny.
It's Adam Devine. He's going to get laughs.
Mate, I do material and it's not funny.
Well, you're a former footballer. I mean, he's a comedian.
Adam, we apologise. that was...
No, I mean, I understand what he's saying. I feel like you can always get laughs no matter what. Even if the joke isn't that strong, just with how you deliver it. But there's ways to... You find different ways to kind of tweak it as you're working the material out, and it just gets better and better. You don't want to stop working on your material because then you're just a lazy piece of
Well, well said. I think that's a...
Sounds like you, Byron.
Well, thanks very much. All right, that's Adam Devine, of course, there. We cannot wait, mate. First show at the Athenaeum Theatre in Melbourne has sold out. No surprises there. It's the second show that there are a few tickets available for, and that
Let's
is
like... Let's go to that one.
We can't wait for you to get down here, mate. Thanks for your time.
All right, guys. Take care. See you then.
Even though they loved putting together that catch-up, Fifi, Fev and Byron wish they could be on holidays all the time. You could holiday every day. A championship golf course, pool, tennis courts, a bar and more. All in your backyard. MandalayLiving.com.au